I'd like to start this morning with a biblical passage that was not in the readings today, but it's one we hear throughout the course of the three-year cycle of readings. It's the story of Moses when he was out tending the flock before God called him to rescue his people from Egypt. Moses saw this bush burning. And it was something strange about it because even though it was on fire, it wasn't consumed. And so Moses thinks to himself, I better go check this out. And he gets over closer to the bush and he hears this voice that says to him, take the sandals from your feet because where you are standing is holy ground. Well, after that then there goes on a conversation between Moses and God. And God is telling Moses, you got to go back to Egypt and you've got to free my people. Now, Moses wasn't impressed by this at all. But he found out gradually that there was no arguing. That's what he needed to do. So he finally says to God, God, well, if I got to go back and do this, who should I tell them sent me? And the answer he got was, tell them that I am sent you. If I had been Moses, I would have been scratching my head and would have said, I am what? But Moses didn't do that. He must have recognized the mystery. If you think about it a while, that answer, I am, is a very good answer. Because God truly is. God's existence depends on no one. God is in himself. And so he can truly say, I am. Sometimes it's said, I am who am. Now let's go forward now to another passage not in our readings today. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And he says something like, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they say to him, look, you're not even 50 years old. How could Abraham have seen your day? And what does Jesus respond to that? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Notice again that I am. Jesus is claiming there his divinity. Now, in our readings today and last week also, and we have quite a few of these passages in John, we have I am phrases. But this time we have images attached to them. You know, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. Today, I am the true vine. Jesus is once again affirming his divinity. But we have images that help us to understand more deeply some of the reality of his being. I'd like to call our attention to one word in that I am the true vine. The word true. All of us know that when a branch is cut off from the vine, that branch is going to wither, it's going to die. It needs the vine for its life. And Jesus is trying to teach us in this passage that we need him in the same way that a branch needs the vine if we want to have life. But so often in our lives, we try to attach ourselves to false vines. Things that we think will make us happy. Things that we think that will fulfill us. And it can be a variety of things. You know, for some it might be success. For others it might be fame. For others it might be comfort and convenience or pleasure. Whatever. But what happens is all those things, while they may at first seem to be very life-giving to us, gradually begin to wear out. They don't fulfill us anymore. Because we know in the end, we've got to let go of it all. They're false vines. But Jesus is the true vine. If we stay connected to Him, He can give us life that will never end. And of course, that is exactly what He wants to do. Jesus wants to give us a life that will fulfill us, bring us happiness, will last forever. That death cannot take away from us. I think the readings today can lead each of us to ask ourselves a question. How connected am I to the vine? That is Jesus. How much does His life flow in me? What am I doing to stay connected to Him? I'll talk about that a little later. Is there something in my life that has separated me from Christ, the vine? Is there something, some relationship? Is there some sin that has cut me off from Christ? A sin for which I have not repented? A sin that I have not confessed? Is there something that I hang on to? Some sinful pattern that is separating me from the true vine? It's an important question for each of us. How do we know how connected we are to the vine that is Christ? I think we know from what John told us in that second reading. It will come from our love for one another. If we love one another, we know we are connected to the vine. But if our life is caught up in selfishness, even though the actions may appear loving, but if we're still more caught up in ourselves and thinking of ourselves and what makes us happy, comfortable, secure, then we know that that connection with Christ is not very deep, not very real. What keeps us connected? First and foremost, it is prayer. Not just prayer of petition, that's part of it, but prayer of adoration, prayer of gratitude, prayer of opening our hearts more and more to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's also the Scriptures. Do we open our hearts up to the Word of God? Do we either listen to that Word intently, or do we read it and try to reflect upon it, let that Word take root within us? And then there's the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. Do we welcome the life of Christ in us through the gift of His body and blood? Do we receive it not just as some habit, but with true hunger, with true yearning for the life of Christ to be in us, that life of Christ to transform us? Then there's the Mass. I separate it from the Eucharist because there's a couple different actions there. When we receive the body and blood, it's welcoming Christ into us. But our attitude at the Mass must be one of offering of ourselves. Because at the Mass we celebrate, we remember, we make present Jesus offering Himself to the Father for us. And at the Mass we come to offer ourselves to Him. so that he can take the gift that we give him and offer it to the Father as part of his great gift. And so in our gift of self, we're offering our joys and our sorrows, our struggles, and all of that. We unite ourselves more fully to Christ our Savior. Jesus tells us so clearly that if we are to bear fruit, and basically the fruit of love, his life must flow within us. He must live in us, and we must live in him. There's another word in this gospel that caught my attention this year, maybe more than others. And that is the word pruning. We all know what it means to prune. You kind of cut things off, right? What does it mean in the gospel? What is the pruning? I wonder if a lot of it isn't those things that God takes away from us so that we can be more focused on what is really important. And so, in a sense, then, our aging can be a pruning. The losses in our life, those things we have to let go of. You know, maybe we let go of them because we just don't have time to do them anymore. Or we let go of them because in the present economy we don't have the money to do them anymore. But they can all be ways that God prunes us. It's not that they're bad things. Some of them may be very good. But they're not helping us to bear the fruit that God wants in our lives. It might be an interest that consumed me, and then suddenly, for whatever reason, I had to let go of it. But that can free me then to do what God wants me to do. That can be the pruning. I want to go back to the second reading as I quit now. Because it echoes the gospel. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And in the gospel, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. That's what we're called to. We are called to remain in Christ. And we are called to allow Christ to remain in us. We are called to be branches on the vine. Branches that have the life of Christ dwelling in us, flowing through us, and bearing abundant fruit. And that fruit is to be the fruit of love, the fruit of service, giving of ourselves in love and service to one another.